Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you today as we've got a lot to talk about. A lot of good things going on in the world of golf. The World Golf Championships happening down in Austin, Texas at the Dell Technologies Match Play. A very, very entertaining and unique format that we really only get to see outside of President's Cup, Ryder Cup once a year, and this is it. So a lot of great golf to be watching if you're into it, and cool, cool scenery too. A great venue, the Austin Country Club, is where they're playing this match. And so we're going to talk about that and how it's formatted. We're going to also hear from a couple of the guys as they're moving their way through the round robin event that they play down there in Austin, and eventually comes out to Sunday, where a couple of guys are going to go head-to-head in match play for a lot of money on the line come Sunday. So a lot of great things that we'll talk about here on the show. Frank Bassett, as always, joining me from his beautiful Nashville studios. How are you doing today, Frank?
Good morning. I'm doing good. Doing good. But good. Just to let you know, we had the storms that hit Dallas. They came and hit us yesterday. East Nashville, yeah. My area a little bit, we got clobbered again. So
really?
Trees down, golf course got a couple of trees down on our country club. So it just never ceases to amaze me how every time I'm ready to go play golf that it's cart path only.
But you know, nature.
You yeah, know, I just yeah, don't like cart path only. So
I'm with you.
Anyway.
I'm with you.
Anyway, everything's going good. Match play's going good. We're having fun with that. Masters is coming up.
It's a funny event in the sense that again, the match play is just a whole different strategy, right? Your guy in front of you hits first, and he hits into the water. I go back to the bag.
You pull out wedge.
Your 7-iron, you know, like just get me in the fair. You know, it's a whole different ballgame. So it is funny and fun to watch. It's also fun to watch the either sportsmanship or lack, I guess, maybe of sportsmanship when guys let other guys, you know, pick up their ball, or it's good or it's not good when it's only 2 feet away and the guy looks at him kind of side-eyed going, really? You're not going to give me this one? You're like, no, get up on it. But the strategy involved is what, to me, is
love it.
It's kind of fascinating, Frank, too, because you sometimes give guys putts until now you're down to the last couple of holes and he needs to make a putt, and you're like, nah, not going to give you that one. And now the guy's going, oh, crap, now I got to putt one? Why don't you make me work on my putts back, you know, 6 holes ago? And so there's strategy that, you know, guys get in each other's heads when they're playing in a match play. I like watching match play. Do you?
I love match play. Match play is, to me, the most fun form of golf because you're in it until the end. You know, you can get a triple on number one and a double on number three and medal play, and you're out. I mean, it's just you're just, you know, praying to the Lord that lightning will strike your opponent or all of them. Because there's no way to recover.
But in match play, that same score, you could be up three holes. With bogeys, you could be up three holes.
And Tiger said it very, very well. Tiger said, you know, you can go out and shoot a 65 one day and lose and shoot a 73 the next day and win in match play.
Exactly.
That's the difference.
Exactly.
And it's very true. Match play is just a lot of fun, and it's going to come down to some pretty crafty players. Kisner was really good at that. Kuchar's good at that. Poulter, incredible. Poulter gave it to McIlroy the first day, if you recall.
Didn't he?
Well, he gave to McIlroy what he gives to Americans all the time in the Ryder Cup. So McIlroy got to see what it was like to be an American in the Ryder Cup playing Poulter, and he didn't like it much.
I tell you what, that match, and Rory's been struggling here in the last few tournaments, but Rory looked like he bit into a Texas jalapeno and was not in a good mood the entire round. And he had some horrendous shots, Frank. I remember on 13 at Austin Country Club, 13 is that drivable par 4, but it's all carryover water.
Yes.
But it's only a 295 or 300-yard shot, right? They can carry that, most of them. And they also have the benefit, we talked to Stankowski and different pros about this, all the benefits the pros have that you and I don't have, which is they've got the bumpers all around the back of that green, which are the villas, right, set up by Dell Technologies or whoever the different hospitality tents are. So those guys just drive it into there, and if you're lucky, you get a good bounce, bang, off of that back onto the green. At the very least, you get a free drop, and you're just on the back of the green. Well, that's what Rory did. So he's just off the back of the green, 10 yards off the back of the green. He chips it, Frank, from the back of the green over – I mean, it rolled. He hit the green for a while. It rolled into the water. And he's sitting there going, are you kidding? He was just hitting some terrible, terrible shots that, for him, I'm sure, he's like, what is going on here? How did I hit it over the green, and then I hit it over the green again into the water and lost the hole.
Obviously. Why did McIlroy ever get sucked into the need for speed when he already had one of the best swings in golf? Stability-wise, he was always there, always on balance, high finish, and held it perfectly. Yet he wants to get 5 more yards, so he just takes his whole game and throws it into a trash can to get 5 or 10 more yards.
Yeah.
Okay? No. And he admitted that.
He got DeChambeau'd. Yeah.
And only DeChambeau can DeChambeau.
I mean, he just thought, I can add more speed. I mean, he thought, and rightfully so, I'm swinging at about 124 miles an hour, very high on the PGA Tour list. Most average PGA Tour guys are about a 115 swing speed.
Yeah.
Most average golfers are about a 92 swing speed, to give you a reference point. But DeChambeau's up in the 130, 140 swing speed, just like a lot of those long drivers. Not quite there, but like long drivers. And Rory's like, well, if he can get another 10 miles an hour, I can too. And he couldn't. And he could, but if he did, he didn't know where the ball's going, which kind of made a difference. You know?
Exactly.
So, yeah, I got a swinger. I can swing harder. We can all swing harder. It's just you don't know where it's going. It doesn't do you a lot of good. So, yeah, he kind of got sucked into that, and we'll see if he can kind of calm down and get back to, you know, the beautiful Rory swing. That's a swing like Adam Scott, like Tiger back in Tiger's heyday. Why would you mess with it? You know, and Tiger's been criticized for why you keep changing it. And you go to different coaches, and why everything is. And I know they're trying to tinker. DeChambeau's the king of it, right? He's constantly tinkering with it. At some point, you're like, man, this is my swing. This is my shot. You kind of want to just play it and just say, okay, that's like the guys in the senior tour, right? You don't hear a lot of those guys tinkering. And I know they're 54 years old, but they're like, I got what I got. You know, this is my swing. This is my speed. And I play my game. But those younger guys, it's like they're just – and I don't know if it's overcoaching. You know, they got too many voices going on in their head about what we can do here and here. Sometimes you're blessed with all the skills you have at this point. Just go with it, you know. Just play your game. I mean, Rory had a little bit of success with his swing. So I'd say
– You think?
No need to be messing with it. By the way, another guy who tinkers is our man Jordan Spieth, who played very well in his first match.
Yes.
But did not play. And again, to explain to people, there's – okay, go ahead.
He played well in the second match up to a point.
Yeah, until the 17th hole.
Yeah. God.
So I'm just kind of giving people a reference again. It's match play. So there's 16 groups, and there's 4 in each group.
Yes.
And you play within that group around robin. It's very similar to World Cup soccer kind of or national or international soccer tournaments where they do that same thing, put you in groups.
Yes.
And you're in the group of death. And so there are groups of 4. And you play. And when you come out of that, you get a point for a win, no points for a loss, half a point for a tie. When you come out of that, the best guy in that foursome then moves on into the weekend. If there's ties, they play it off, right? Match play, and they play it off if two guys. So that's the format of it. So in Spieth's case, you know, he played yesterday and played against Matthew Wolff, played Matthew Fitzpatrick in the first match and led the whole way and won that match.
Yes.
Then he plays Matthew Wolff yesterday, and Wolff hasn't been playing an awful lot and admittedly was a little bit rusty. And Spieth has beaten him the whole day, all day. I mean, he's up not by a lot, but I think at least by 2 or 3 almost all day. And he's up by 2 going into 17, so he's dormy. Love the word, right? Dormy. Except for you can still tie, which means you're going to give away half a point. And guess what? He lost 17, and then he lost 18, and tied. And we'll see how it factors out here in the end.
But it was
a very bad finish for Spieth. Spieth now, for his good fortune, is playing Corey Connors. And Corey Connors in that group of 4 is 0-2. He hasn't won a match yet. He lost to Fitzpatrick yesterday and lost to Wolff on the first day. So Spieth should have the advantage over Corey Connors. And if that's the case, he would then be 2-0-1. Matthew Wolff could also beat Fitzpatrick. He'd be 2-0-1, and they'd be facing each other again to decide which one of those guys is going to go on. So it was a big meltdown for Spieth, to be honest. And even on 18, Frank, on yesterday's final round, on 18, he got a good break off of a photographer, kicked the ball from the rough back into the fairway. He had 112 yards to a lower-tier. I mean, it's a kind that we all like, right? You're kind of like the holes down here, and you just hit a nice little – it's a 112-yard shot. He does what he does, which is he came up a little short, puts way too much spin on the ball, and spins it off the green, falls front, down a little. Matthew Wolff hits it tight, and Spieth's chip went 15 feet past the hole. He missed the putt and conceded the hole, and it was over. It was really inexcusable for where he was on 18 no reason to tie that match. So, yeah, we'll see what he does there and how it all shakes out. You'd mentioned earlier that Kevin Kisner, who's extremely good at this, loves playing, and I believe he's now won something like 7 of his last 8 matches in tournament in the Dell Match Play. He's very good at match play, very good at this tournament, and he's in a in a very tough group himself. He's in a group with Louis Oosthuizen, Matt Kuchar, and Justin Thomas. Well, he took care of Oosthuizen in the first day, and yesterday played Justin Thomas, only number 2 in the world, right? Kisner is playing Justin Thomas. And same thing we were kind of talking about Spieth, although he didn't let it fall away. He led most of the day. Justin Thomas definitely struggling off the tee for most of the day. And Kisner wins it 2-1, so Kisner's now 2-0. Kuchar is 2-0 in that group. And both Justin Thomas and Louis Oosthuizen are basically gone. They're 0-2 with their matches coming up today. But obviously they're only going to get one win is the best they can do. So it's between Kisner and Kuchar. But afterwards, Kevin Kisner and his deadpan delivery that he likes to, he doesn't try to get too cocky, doesn't like, he's very focused, very driven, and when he's out on the golf course, big win over Justin Thomas, and afterwards had a few comments about what happened in his match with JT.
Kevin, congratulations. Another one in the win column, another point for you. 4 up through 7, but things got really interesting on the back nine. He closed it. He was only down 1. Your thoughts on how this match went today?
Well, I felt comfortable up 4, but obviously he started hitting some quality golf shots there on 11, 12, and 13. You know he's going to make some birdies. You know he's going to make a run. So try to fend him off as long as you can. And fortunate enough there on 16 to get a good break off the tee and be able to make an easy birdie, which I think pretty much ended the match.
Give us an idea how different this golf course played today. Wind changed. We had some rain last night. How much different was it?
I've never seen it this soft, so it's difficult for me. It's playing way longer than I'm used to. The low bullet that I'm used to running out there 350 yards is not happening. So total different wind direction. So every tee shot, you're having to change lines dramatically from yesterday. So that's what's great about Texas.
Tomorrow you play Matt Kuchar. You guys are very familiar with each other. The championship match a couple of years ago. Thoughts on playing Kuchar, what it might be like?
Yeah, we play a lot of similar games. So we'll be around each other off the tee and trying to hit quality iron shots while making some putts. So it should be a fun match.
I think so. Congratulations on the win.
Thanks, brother.
That was the most animated I've ever heard.
We're back.
Mike Bassett live from the Ryder Cup, the 41st edition of the Ryder Cup.
We don't want to hear that.
Gorgeous Minnesota.
Yeah. Our engineer needs to kill that. Place. We don't want to hear Frank Bassett live. Thank you from the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, thank you.
Anyway, that was good. Okay.
Where'd you dig that one up?
I didn't do it.
2006. Yeah. Ryder Cup.
That was the old Ryder Cup.
Jack Nicklaus going up against.
Now, that's not nice. Anyway, wasn't that the most animated you've heard, Kisner?
Yeah, he mostly kind of just almost doesn't even open his mouth, right? He's kind of like Clutch Cargo cartoon.
Yeah.
He kind of just talks, and his lips don't really move, and he kind of just, and he's short and sweet. Just, played good, made some putts. Okay, thank you, Kevin. But, yeah, he did good. So that was, and he's playing Cooch, and it should be entertaining to watch those guys. Like I said, and we talked about, the whole match play format is entertaining to the point where you mentioned DeChambeau, or we did. He's in a group with Tommy Fleetwood and Antoine Rosner, who I've got to be honest with you, know nothing about, European player. Antoine Rosner is in there, and Siwoo Kim. Antoine Rosner, and they're seeded 1 through 64, Frank, right? That's the
yes.
seedings. That's how that works for the event. Rosner, again, didn't know anything about this guy, comes out and beats in the first match, in the first day, Bryson DeChambeau. Number 58
match
against
play,
number 5
baby.
And the FedEx Cup points, and Bryson goes down. He came back, Bryson did yesterday, and beat Siwoo Kim 2-1. But that's what happens. It's not unusual that you see. Now, here's why they changed the format, too, Frank, and why there's these groups of 4, is because in the beginnings of the match play, as we all know, the big-name guys were not making it to the finals. And it's a really tough sell for NBC or whoever else to say, hey, let's watch a little golf this weekend. Oh, who's playing? Oh, it's no offense to anybody, but it's Dylan Fratelli against Kevin Streelman, right? And you're like, okay, who's going to watch? Because you want it to be Tiger against Dustin Johnson, against Jordan Spieth. But it didn't always work. In match play, you don't know who's going to end up in the finals. And if it's not excitement enough and there's not a chance for these guys to come back, if it's one and done like it normally would be in match play, without the round-robin format, then you suddenly have the reality of Sunday being not that exciting. But now, at least make it where you're not just one and done, right? You don't just lose your first match in match play on Wednesday or Thursday and you pack your bags. So at least you get a few days of watching these guys, and these guys get a few rounds in as well. And it's a World Golf Championship, so you know, let's remember that,
big
too.
Points.
It's a WGC. It's a big, big one. It's big points. It's big money. So the winner of this is about, what, $1.7 million, $1.8 million goes in their pocket. So
yep,
it's all the big boys that are playing in this week's tournament. It does make it fun, too, Frank, that, you know, I don't know if you like to bet on a little bit of golf, but I like it once in a while. I've got some friends that are crazy about betting on golf. And, again, you kind of get to see how it can play out, how the lesser-known guys can beat the big superstars. The superstars, Justin Thomas and Rory McIlroy, might have an off day and not play very well. And if you can capitalize on that, if you kind of have an inside, you know, little feeling about who might play well, you can make some money. And especially you can make some money if you go and visit our good friends at DraftKings, Frank. Yeah, DraftKings is a place to go to if you want to bet on golf. But they do kind of every sport, do they not, if I'm not mistaken?
Well, fantasy baseball is something special for them. It's really easy to play. You pick 10 players, stay under your salary cap, pile up the points for hits, runs, strikeouts, and more, and you're playing for a shot at millions of dollars all week. Yeah. So I love betting on baseball and golf and football and horses and the wind and the leaves. I like to gamble. It's fun. It's fun. Just don't get
over your head. How do you get on this? Is there a way to find out about DraftKings?
You need to download the DraftKings app now and use promo code GOLFTALK, okay, to get a free shot at a share of the millions of dollars up for grabs this week with your first deposit. That's promo code GOLFTALK to get a free shot at a share of millions of dollars with your first deposit only at DraftKings. So there.
Very nice, very nice. It's a minimum of $5 deposit, so it's not like you need to put in all kinds of money. It's very safe and secure, too, and that's really important, too.
Yes.
People at DraftKings want you to know. We all get a little bit funky sometimes about going online and even buying a pair of shoes or something. It's all very secure. They take care of that, and they've been around a long, long time. I mean, people they like have, Jerry yeah. Jones have been involved with DraftKings and the NFL and big, big sports and franchises that know that they're not going to get involved if there isn't that security and that technology involved in all this. So it is DraftKings that knows exactly what they're doing, and it's just a lot of fun. It's something you and your friends can get together, whether it's baseball, like you said, fantasy baseball, golf, you name it, they'll do it for you. At DraftKings, just download the app, DraftKings app at DraftKings.com.
What's the promo code?
There you go. There
What's the promo code?
Yeah.
Golf Talk.
Free.
Golf
Free's
Talk.
Always good.
Golf Talk. Promo code. Golf Talk. Promo code. Plug it in, folks. Go see them.
We're talking about the World Golf Championships, Frank Bassett and I here on Golf Talk America. And another guy who is one of your favorites on the tour is a homegrown guy here in Texas, Ryan Palmer. Not a UT guy. There's a few Jordan Spieth, UT guys, and Dylan Fratelli had mentioned earlier, UT
Aggie
player as well. Ryan Palmer is the opposite of that. He'd be an Aggie. And Ryan, an All-American at Texas A&M back in the day, and he is playing phenomenally well. He's in a pretty tough group. He's in a group along with John Rahm, Shane Lowry, and Sebastian Munoz. So some very, very talented international field. Take a look at all those different countries. Those are four different countries for all four of those guys there that are playing in this tournament. And yesterday, Mr. Palmer, who opened against Shane Lowry and won, to go 1-0, faced Sebastian Munoz in yesterday's match and won that one 2-1. So Ryan Palmer now 2-0 along with John Rahm. They'll play in today's next match, both of those guys 2-0. And again, with the winner going on, the loser going home. So afterwards, his match with Munoz that he won and took it down kind of the wire. Here's what Ryan Palmer had to say about his match with Mr. Munoz.
Ryan, what a great way for you to close out that match with a birdie on the 17th hole. Just shows how good you are under pressure, I think.
Yeah, it wasn't one of our better days, Sebastian or myself. We didn't play much great golf, but man, my putter was there today for a lot of holes. And to make my first birdie finally on the last to close it out after he missed. So, yeah, it was one of those days, you know. I played so good yesterday, then came out today and just wasn't there. A little tricky with the winds. I mean, they were swirling big time, but fought hard, made a lot of great par putts, and saved the best for last.
I thought the golf course really changed throughout the course of the day. Really windy, and then the wind may have died down a little bit. I thought the greens remained receptive, though.
Yeah, they were soft. I had a couple shots today that spun more than I thought they would, but then, James mentioned the rain last night, so I just, stayed patient and like I said, my bad golf beat his bad golf today.
James, your caddy, longtime caddy. Talk about the showdown coming up on Friday. You and John Rahm, the winner moves on to the round of 16.
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing on 18. I think they're still playing, but
I think John Rahm has won.
You know, okay, that's what I thought. So, no, how fitting my partner here in about 4 weeks at Zurich to defend our Zurich Classic. So it should be fun. We talked on Tuesday and said we'll talk on Saturday. But, no, it'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it and happy for the chance.
How good would it be for a Texas A&M Aggie to win in the land of the Longhorn?
One step at a time, but, yeah, no, it'd be nice to win in Texas in my career. So, you know, I got a lot of work ahead of me. Obviously a tough one tomorrow. So we'll take tomorrow and see where it goes from there.
Enjoy the win tonight.
Yeah, thank you.
And there he is, Ryan Palmer, talking about his match against Munoz, but also his match coming up against John Rahm. And he's referring to the Zurich, where they play twosome, if you will, and he and John Rahm, defending champions in that tournament. So they're good friends. They get along well, and that was obviously the golden tones of Fred Albers interviewing Ryan after his match, and so it should be fun. We'll see. He kind of downplayed it, but believe me, Frank, an Aggie winning in Austin
would be huge. Anything.
Huge. I don't care if you're just throwing cards against a wall. If an Aggie wins in Austin, it kind of makes your whole career. So yeah, he'd be more than thrilled to be. And my guess is, I don't know, I don't look at his bag. I'm not sure how much Aggie stuff, if any, he shows. My guess is if he does make it to Sunday, he might be wearing some A&M colors or A&M logos all over his attire. So yeah, that'd be fun for Ryan Palmer. Boy, he's really playing well considering he's in the later stages of his career, right? I mean, Ryan is,
well,
I don't have it in front of me, but Ryan is 44 years old or so, something like that.
That's not the latter stages of his career. He's in his prime,
well,
baby.
It's you kind of get, yeah, it's Palmer, in his prime. He's playing as good as ever right now. That's the thing.
He's had some surgery and came back from that very well. In fact, he couldn't play in Jordan Spieth's event a few years ago, so he and I held down the fort at number 17, watching everybody come through by the bar. So we were working out together. But Ryan Palmer's got a lot of game, and you know it and I know it. He's worked hard to get back. But he actually, I think, is playing better than he's ever played.
I think so. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, he really he's not a multiple winner. He's not a name that everybody pops. But he seems to be always in the top 10, top 20 of almost every tournament now. And it makes me think, too, next week, people, make sure you join us because we'll have Harrison Frazier on, who's a contemporary, certainly, of Ryan Palmer's, who's now a little bit older than Ryan, but Harrison is a Texas Longhorn. And so Harrison is getting ready for the Champions Tour, and we'll have Harrison on, and maybe we'll have a little story about he and Ryan Palmer. Harrison lives in Dallas area in Highland Park, and Ryan lives kind of between Dallas and Fort Worth in a town called Colleyville suburb. And plays over at Colonial. He's a member of Colonial, which is right around the corner as well coming up. So anyway, I'm sure there's something between the two of them, so we'll talk to Harrison next week about
Harrison. Harrison lives in a pretty nice neighborhood.
He does. He does.
Yes,
same
does.
Neighborhood. We're mentioning Longhorns. Yeah, with Scotty Scheffler, who's playing in this week's tournament. On. Scotty Scheffler went to Highland Park High School, and then he went to Texas as well. So it's kind of, there's a lot of Texans that are, and want to be Texans, Frank. Let's be honest. Even these guys from Australia, these guys from England, they want to be Texans. They're not lying. Fleetwood wishes he was a Texan. So
let me give you a quickie on RP, Ryan Palmer. So he has a great charity, great foundation, and has a big event every year. And didn't have it last year, but year before last, I played in it, and I had to play in his event. Everybody plays for their school. Well, because I was playing with Blaine Simmons, who we know is Jordan Spieth's best friend, I had to wear a Texas shirt, long story short, a University of Texas shirt. Okay, I was on the Texas team. And I'm about to make a putt to win us some money. I mean, I'm standing over it. I've looked at it. Everybody on our team's looked at it. Said, Frank, it's playing here. It's here. I'm the last player to putt. Here we go. I get over my putt. That putter head goes back, and just as I start to move it forward, an air horn goes off right behind me. And guess who was standing there with an air horn? It was an Aggie.
Who?
It could have been Ryan Palmer. He did not want me to make that putt, and I didn't. I jerked that thing sideways, and he just started laughing and walked off, and that was it. So I ORP. So there you go. Good guy, though. Really.
That's how Aggies win. That's how Aggies win, Frank.
No.
That's all I'm going to say.
I like
it.
All I'm going to say. Good school. Like Texas. Good school. Ole Miss, though, didn't have a team. But we will have a team in that event next year.
Yeah. Next year.
Wait till next year.
After COVID.
That's our motto. Wait till next year.
So I'm looking forward to today's matches and the weekend's matches as well. Again, they all whittle down to 16, and then, you know, as we know, just like any tournament, down to 8, 4, and 2 for the finals on Sunday, and it should be fun. The tournament again is being played at Austin Country Club, and if you haven't watched yet on Golf Channel, NBC, check it out this weekend, because I think it's supposed to be beautiful weather, blue skies, and again they're right along the Colorado River is right there, and you have just these great scenes, and some of the holes are right there on the water. As we talked about, number 13, number 12 goes down. There's some great holes. There's a lot of hills. Again, hill country is what that part of Texas is known as. So it's very, very hilly. It's not like Dallas, very flat. And so it's just cool. It's a cool golf course to be playing this on. And there's, as always, and that's what I've said forever, Frank, about, you know, the DeChambeau part. They don't need to keep lengthening golf course. Just make them tricky, right? You can trick them up. You can put, like, water holes that tempt you to go for it.
Well, not even.
But you're not sure if you want to. It doesn't have to be a 489-yard par 4, 520-yard par 4. You can have a 290. Look what happens at Riviera every year, right, with number 10. There can be short par 4s that make you go, I could hit driver, or I could hit 4-iron. What do you want to do? And you make the wrong call. It's not about the distance. It's about using your head. That's what I like about this country club, too, about Austin Country Club. There's a lot of holes where you got to think about what you want to do here.
It's a gorgeous golf course. It's playing very difficult this week because it's soft. It's they've had a lot of rain, so they're having like Kisner said in his interview, he's used to hitting that low bullet that runs forever. Not working for him, but he's certainly, you know, 2-0-0 right now, so he's in good position. But they don't have to trick him up, Tim, I don't think. Yeah. Just put the
course. What do I mean by trick him up? I just mean put bunkers where you need to put bunkers. You know, do what you can do. Do what Pete Dye can do. It's not about making it 7,800 yards.
Exactly.
And now it's now going to be PGA Tour ready. It can be 6,800 yards.
8,102.
I mean, Pebble Beach is not a long. Yeah.
Like French Lick. 8,102.
Like French Lick. Yeah. I mean, Pebble Beach is not a long golf course. But it's not like they go 30 under at that tournament. So it's about hitting the right kinds of shots on the right holes. It's not about the distance. So that's to the saving grace of people thinking that the ball's too long and the clubs are too long and Bryson's doing all these things to swing harder. He's making the game. First of all, Bryson's playing very well, but he's, as you can tell, he's not winning every tournament. He's not, like, blowing everybody away.
No.
Yes, it certainly has helped him. But guys that are also winning tournaments are guys that know where to hit the ball, how to hit the ball. And we'll see on Sunday which guys make it here at this golf course in match play. And oftentimes it's not the superstars. Oftentimes it is Kevin Kisner going up against Max Homa or whatever, because they just strategize, right? They play the right shots at the right time.
Well, and
that's what I like about it.
I know you really didn't mean trick it up, but
yeah,
let the course conditions be the conditions that the original and or the subsequent redesigner intended. Okay, tighten those fairways up a little bit. Raise that rough up a little bit. If you can, and it's not 400 degrees like it is in Texas in the summer or South Carolina in the summer, bring those greens down to putting on glass. And that'll
lots
change everybody's attitude. It's what's so funny is you go to a course like Austin Country Club or you go to a course like Colonial, and all of a sudden all these trees are in play. And a course like Bluegrass Yacht and Country Club, where I'm a member. It's a club court property. Lots of trees. Yeah. What's your course like? And I have not played on your course at Prestonwood in Dallas.
Yeah. Yeah. They actually have two courses. The Hills course, aptly named because there's more rolls to it, and then the Creek course, also aptly known because it gets filled with my Pro V1s in the creeks.
That you get free from Titleist.
It's a great course, but a lot of trees. And we had some big storms here about 2 years ago or so, and seriously, for not only Prestonwood but a lot of courses, they naturally thinned out the trees, which is something a lot of courses are doing now to say, okay, we had too many, we got to kind of, God took care of it about 2 years ago and took out seriously about 300, 400 trees at Prestonwood and a lot of other courses around there. That they had a saw everywhere you went. You heard the.
Did it change the slope of the course?
Get rid of the trees. I don't know that they've resloped it or not because of that. I haven't noticed that, to be honest with you. And maybe it did. It certainly has changed the look of a number of holes where, you know, you'd stand there and go, well, there used to be a big old tree right next to me here on the, next to the green or on the tee box. So it definitely changed your visual look at the golf course because there's a lot of trees or a lot of big branches, you know, that came out of those trees that weren't there anymore. So, but anyway, in a general sense, that's your country club, my country club, our Club Corps. If you want to know more about Club Corp, one of our great sponsors, then check them out. Go to clubcorp.com and find out more about whatever area you're in. You can find a course in your area. They're all over the country. And when you join a course, you're also allowed to have privileges at all the other courses, which is really, really great. When Frank goes and plays at Firestone and other great Club Corp properties all over the country, you get special privileges to do that. So check them out at clubcorp.com and find a course near you. They'll let you come and play and test the waters, put your toe in the creek, so to speak, and see what you think about that course. And some places, like Dallas here, I believe we have 10 or 12 Club Corp properties. And some cities have certainly multiple
Atlanta,
of course, that you can find that one that's good for you.
Great Club Corp properties in Atlanta. Yep. So go to clubcorp.com, folks. Check them out. It's well worthwhile. And also, if you're within, if you're thinking about going to Indiana, you fly into Louisville, 45 minutes from there, you'd be at French Lick, at the French Lick Resort. So go to frenchlick.com, another one of our great sponsors, and check it out. The Pete Dye course there, 8102 from the tips, okay? 8102. Just try it. Just try a couple of holes from there. Just give it a shot. But the Donald Ross course is incredible there, too. Where else can you go play a Donald Ross course, a Tom Bendelow course, and a Pete Dye course right there at that one resort? So frenchlick.com, cool place to go. And 8102, baby, 8102. Carl Paulson shot 2-under from 8102.
Okay. Oh, it's crazy.
Just saying.
Crazy.
Just saying.
Like driver three wood in all the par fours.
By the way, as an update, April 20-something, I don't know, the end of April, I'm going to look at the dates, there's a they do a media thing in Kentucky, and I happen to have had the opportunity and the pleasure of getting to know a couple of the big sportscasters, one in Louisville and one in Lexington, over the years, because we play at French Lick during the year and when they have tournaments. And they're going to do a little media thing at French Lick with Kentucky as a shootout, but they invited me yesterday to come play.
Nice.
So I'm going to go represent the Nashville media. Great. They need to call Rudy Kalis. He's a better golfer than I am. But Rudy's good. But good. I'm going to go do it. Fun. So that's going to be fun. So a couple of days at French Lick, and I'll let you know. Because you're going to be coming in
which
July
is in
or
Indiana.
August. Indiana. Louisville. 45 minutes from Louisville,
to be reading
Kentucky.
I just happened to read this the other day. One of the coolest guys, think of Hollywood, and think of one of the coolest guys in the history of Hollywood. I'm not saying currently, but in the history of Hollywood.
Yeah.
And you don't think of Indiana sometimes. You know, I'm nothing against Indiana. I'm from Illinois. But you don't always think of it being a cool place or cool people come from, right? Indiana, just a heart of the Midwest kind of thing.
Yeah.
Who do you think two legendary stud, like ultimate Hollywood cool guys are both from Indiana? I'll give you a chance to guess. Who
John Wayne.
Nope.
David Letterman. He is from Indiana, but he's not Hollywood cool.
He is, but he's not the coolest guy.
I don't know. I have no idea.
I will tell you. Steve McQueen.
Oh,
is from Indiana. You wouldn't think, would you?
No. Be
like, it just doesn't
seem
he was
like... from Chicago or something, you know.
And James Dean. James Dean.
Two of the coolest guys in all of Hollywood. I didn't know that.
Right? Right? That's kind of good trivia there.
They're both dead.
Would you agree? Aren't they two of the coolest guys?
Two of the coolest guys ever to be on the screen. Yeah,
cool guys?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The Great Escape. What a movie.
Midwest.
The Great Escape. Oh, my God. Mr. McQueen. He was the man.
Yep. You know, I played golf. James Garner was in that movie. I played in a tournament once with James Garner years and years ago. And
Maverick?
He's from Oklahoma.
The man Maverick?
Played with Maverick. What a really nice guy. Well, he was in the movie. We're going left field here. He was in The Great Escape, right? And he said there were some real problems that McQueen could be a difficult guy to work with because he wants things his way. He was always kind of, and if you go back and look at his history, he went into some juvenile detention center. He had a bad childhood, right, Steve McQueen? So he kind of had a really rough edge to him. And I guess you could tell that on the screen, too. And so he got sideways with the director and wasn't going to finish the movie. And James Garner And James Coburn was also in the movie, had to go and talk to him and say, hey, come on, like talk him back into the game, right? Let's get finish this movie. And he wanted to be the hero. He said he liked being the hero, Steve McQueen, but he didn't want to do hero kind of things. He wanted to be in that movie. He's kind of the bad guy, right? He's the guy that tries to escape all the time, gets caught.
Sure.
He gets sent back, and he throws a baseball against the wall, right? And when he's in the cooler. Anyway, so James Garner has some really good stories about Steve McQueen in the day. They lived right next door to each other. I don't know what that means in Hollywood. It means you're 10 acres from each other probably in your estates.
Yeah, just on the mountain.
But he said we lived right next door to each other in L.A. So,
How cool is that? Well, we've gone from golf to Hollywood.
My closest
to,
Steve McQueen connection I got.
Well, yeah, but
all right,
James,
I'm done.
James
I'm
Garner. James Garner's a pretty cool dude, too. Come on, let's...
Yeah, he was cool. Maverick was a cool guy.
I can't think of the movie that he did that I liked so much, but it was a movie that was about old Hollywood, and he had played Wyatt Earp in this movie. But he was a retired Wyatt Earp that had come to Hollywood because they're making a movie about him. And I can't think of the name of that movie. Darn it. What a great movie it was, though. Meryl Hemingway. Bruce Willis plays Tom Mix, the old Hollywood, you know, silent movie actor. Good movie. Good movie. If I think of it,
I got trivia for you, Frank. I mean, you bring stuff up, and it rings bells for me. Tom Mix was actually one of the pallbearers in Wyatt Earp's funeral.
Yes, they became famous friends. Yeah.
And the thing that's bizarre to me about all that is, as we now center the universe, we're now out in Mars. We're so far left in this, getting off on the subject.
It's a golf show. What?
But the thing that amazes me about Wyatt Earp is Wyatt Earp, we think of as who he was, right? Which was a gunslinger, right? A guy from the Wild West.
Yeah.
And OK Corral and all that stuff. He lived in an era that went from there to he then, as you said, moved to Hollywood. They were making movies, and they were planes in the air and cars in the streets and all that at the end of his career, at the end of his life. But Wyatt Earp was all about the Wild West. And it's just so weird how quickly it went from the Wild West to the Industrial Revolution that happened.
Yeah.
And they're making movies, and he's living in Hollywood, and Tom Mix is a pallbearer at his funeral. It just seems like those worlds should never have collided, but somehow they did, right? The Wild West and Wyatt Earp and movie making, and he was there in the early parts of the movie making. Anyway, I just remember reading about that one time, thinking, wow, that is so bizarre. You just think that those are hundreds of years apart, and they really weren't.
Show.
They kind of...
Bizarro.
Bizarro. Hundreds of years apart.
I like this. Are they telling us something? Somebody's telling us something.
I know. Somebody's done. We got to go.
Bizarro. We got to get out of here. Fun show, though.
Producers are saying, stop talking Wild West, would you? For God's sakes. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We do appreciate it. Just make sure every time you want to catch any kind of information about golf or anything else that might come up, listen to Golf Talk America. Thanks to all the people that Fred Albert's doing the interview for us there with Ryan Palmer, Kevin Kistner, and everybody for listening. And on behalf of Frank Bassett and Wyatt Earp, I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks for being with us. Join us next time right here in the Wild, Wild Golf Talk America.